It's a download here on WGN. I'm Justin Kaufman. Coming up, Matt Besser from the Upright Citizens Brigade beyond. Also, James Finn Garner, who will be reading at the Front Room series on Thursday night in Morgan Park. And also, we're going to play the worst. We're very excited about this. Hashtag the worst. We've been playing this on and off, and we finally, Pete and I came to the conclusion that this is one of the more successful segments we do. I mean, every time we do it, we get texts and calls. I mean, and every week it gets bigger. And we said, we just stop goofing around and commit to it. Yeah.
They love haters.
They love haters, right. And so for us, the goal is to we've kind of tricked it out a little bit more. We've invited comics in studio, and we're going to give away prizes. The prize tonight, I'm very excited about this, is tickets to Air Supply. Right?
You mean like the band?
The band.
just like steel canisters.
I know, they're playing. They're playing. Yeah, they are. They're playing.
Star Plaza in Indiana, Merrillville? So I'm going to guess. Or casino.
I don't know where they're playing, right, yeah.
Quick.
Arcata.
Biggest hit by Air Supply.
I'm All Out of Love.
Yep. Out of nothing at all.
All right, right on. Dun.
Anyway, we got tickets to give away to Air Supply. That'll be the, and we've kind of like, we took from one of our, we're disciples of America's Funniest Videos here, home videos here. And they do it where you'll have Alfonso Ribeiro will do all until the end, and then they pick the best three. So we're going to do the same thing with the worst. We're going to pay attention. So 312-981-7200 if you've got a good, the worst. And then we'll bring it back, and the judges will be the comics, and you can win Air Supply, and your life will change forever.
That's huge.
You should all enter. Yep. That sounds amazing.
Yep. That's coming up at 10 o'clock. Well, last week, news broke that the Chicago media startup TouchVision was shutting down. TouchVision was a media company that primarily worked in video, supplying not only their website but its own cable channel, with in-depth mini documentaries and standalone programs and series that ultimately focused on news and pop culture, more of it local than national, although it had a national audience. The staff of 40 were let go, and some were kept on to work at Weigel Broadcasting, the partner company. Justin Allen was the head of content and production, and Scott Smith, the familiar voice here on The Download, is a new media contributor, was the editorial director at TouchVision, and they're both in studio with me tonight. Gentlemen, thanks for being here.
Great to be here.
Thanks for having us.
Sorry it's under these circumstances. So let's talk about it. Why shut the doors?
This is news to me. I had no idea. So.
Yeah, we were coming in here to talk about the great success story.
Right, sure.
I think the thing about companies like TouchVision, think about us, is that we were a second iteration of something that had already been started and had been going on for 2 years before our former CEO, Brandon Davis, who left in August, brought me in under the charge, fix it, change it, make the content really compelling, because it was clear to them and clear to the largely millennial staff that this company that was supposed to be doing national millennial content was not, the content wasn't reaching that audience at mm-hmm. all. It was just a bad mix. And so I was brought in and very quickly brought Scott in. To help me change, we made a lot of rearrangements, made a lot of hires, but at some point, that was a year and a half ago,
right?
And at some point, we, like every media company in the country, face challenges, particularly on the digital side of finding consistent paths to revenue.
Let me ask you about that, because were you given a timetable when you took over in August? Were you saying you only got 2 years, fix it?
No. We had an amazingly supportive partner base, amazingly supportive group of benefactors who said, okay, get your sea legs about you, go and make this change, make it worthwhile, and make it something we can all be proud of, and let's figure out ways to revenue throughout that. In all honesty, I mean, I came from Tribune Broadcasting. I before that, I was doing experimental media as well. I was show running their syndicated morning show, and that was like gold, right? Like that idea of the support to say, okay, you have a little bit of time now. Go figure out what's the right mix, because we know what we're doing's not. And so let's go find what's all going to make us proud. But at some point, and it's not something that I fault them over. You get investor fatigue, and you say, okay, we can't keep putting money into something that we keep seeing these consistent challenges and past revenue. When one of your biggest partners is Yahoo, and Yahoo, we all know the news about Yahoo starting to mm-hmm. have issues. there starts to be those issues that are really hard for companies like TouchVision to overcome.
And always in a situation like this, when we talked about 40 people let go, I mean, you're talking, and including YouTube, the idea being that the juxtaposition here is that the content was good and it was getting better. Yes. I mean, you're finding different opportunity, and you felt like you're finding your legs.
I don't think that anybody who looks at what we were doing over the past year and looks at a year ago and then looks at a year before that wouldn't see an upward trajectory of this content is really fantastic. And I think we definitely figured out that the kind of gold for us was cultural analysis, you know, in a sort of longer form, in that kind of 3 to 5 minute kind of segment, mm-hmm. Really insightful news that kind of pulls together a bunch of different viewpoints together, but also speaks really honestly if something's, you know, a bunch of nonsense. And these longer form deep dive looks at a 24-year-old woman who is fighting cancer, at the source of youth violence in Chicago, at the First Church of Cannabis, you know, and then even smaller things like we had a Portrait of an Artist series where you look at everybody from a, you know, mural artist to a glassblower to a traditional ballet dancer. And
some of this stuff was finding traction. Some of it was going more. But ultimately, as you said at the beginning, I mean, the goal was to try and attract a millennial audience.
Yeah.
It didn't reach them. Now, that may not be an issue with your media company. It may be just an issue with – I've been involved with projects like that where you're like, the content's there and people like it when they find it, but they're not finding it. And that seems to be a problem when companies reach out to millennials specifically.
Well, I think we were definitely seeing that there was more traction and more audience than when we had started. But you do – I mean, it is the revenue thing, right? Like, it's the audience does beget, you know, revenue. Yeah. One of our biggest partners was Yahoo. They shut down. There was also, I think, a sense that it's 2015 going on 2016 at this point. And all of a sudden you start to look at what the state of web ad revenue is. And that business has just collapsed in terms of like what CPMs are and what, you know, you can earn from that. So, I mean, and this is not necessarily us. This is, you look at overall, this is the environment. And you look at things like Al Jazeera America shutting down. Right. That was a TV station. You look at, you know, Grasswire. There's other media startups that are in, you know, had not had the, you know, time in it, the space in it, or even figured out their content stuff like we had. And, you know, we're not immune to it. Ours is not the only story.
Scott Smith, Justin Allen, let's take a break. When we come back, let's talk about that, because that is a secret that a lot of people aren't talking about, that, you know, so many businesses, startups, and media are really counting on web ad revenue, which is just not there. Meaning, you know, even the big companies in Chicago, whether it be the Tribune, Sun-Times, they're counting. They've had different times in their careers where they've been counting on it, and it never materializes. And what's happening there, and why is that the case? And we're seeing that in all sorts of, even the monster companies like Gawker are having problems. So maybe something has to change. Justin Allen, Scott Smith, we come back more about the media landscape, startups, and what's the future for all that jazz. Stay with us. It's a download here on WGN. I'm Justin Kaufman. My guests tonight, Justin Allen and Scott Smith, the former head of content and production and editorial director of TouchVision, which is a local media startup that shut its doors last week. I guess it's Wednesday or Thursday. You know, we were just talking about what it takes to start a media company. And it's fascinating to me, because a lot of what people will tell you is it's got to be mobile. It's got to be online. There's no, you know, the old terrestrial signals of the past. But the things that make business happen, i.e. revenue, advertising, you hear the advertising we just did, like, you know, that's what pays the salaries. Let's talk about that, because it doesn't feel like that's a very, solid foundation, web revenue, ad revenue at this time in 2016.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, if you look at the last 3 months of what I'll call the media outlet deaths, I mean, it's clearly something that a lot of outlets are struggling with. But a lot of the outlets are very, very large, and I think that's a thing that that media companies in general, people who create content, have to remember that the idea of suddenly starting a, I'm going to start a 200 person content company, that scares me to death. Like, that idea scares me to death. That's huge. The revenue that you would have to support that is bananas. So the idea would be, and we were using This American Life as an example.
The documentary show on public radio is a good example.
It's been long existing for a really long time. They've had, how many employees? Like 4 employees for a long time. they keep it very, the content is consistent, and the number of people working on it are also, it's low. And so there's better.
And to be fair, let's put Serial and some of the other stuff aside. They are a radio show.
And they're on public radio, too, so it's a completely different.
But that's what they do. Media companies today, when they start, they say, I have to have a website. I have to have a podcast network. I have to have a television part. We got to do video. Who's doing tweets?
Yeah.
You really have to think about that. Is that handcuffing media startups where they're saying that maybe they're biting off more than they can chew?
I think what we're at about now is that you are not going to get even 3 years ago, you're not going to get the kind of engaged web reader that you might have before, because there are so many things almost literally screaming for your attention in all caps and using way too many adjectives and adverbs and headlines, and so the fatigue sets in on the reader's part where they see the same stories everywhere else. There is this expectation that everything is the same on the internet, and there's no need to have any kind of loyalty to any particular, let's call it, news and pop culture information kind of site. Mm-hmm. And so you have to then train that reader to be a little bit more of an opt-in reader to you. You have to get them to subscribe so that you can get them again, so you can kind of retarget to them with another piece of content. So you have to create these products like email and a podcast and making sure that you're doing a really smart strategy on YouTube. And none of those things have anything to do with you having a more traditional website. Mm. So you really want to get those folks to subscribe to you and invite you in to their phone every single day. And that's a way different model than it was 3 years ago.
Even 3 years ago. Yeah. I don't think I have a loyalty to any one site. Even, the sites and news that I say at the top of the show, I read the newspaper so you don't have to. It's a little bit of a farce because it's like you just essentially, your phone is serving up every story from everywhere.
Yeah.
Loyalty is at a premium.
But don't you, so then the question back to you, then do you have a loyalty to a platform? Do you have a loyalty to Facebook? Do you have a loyalty to Twitter? Do you have a loyalty to Instagram? And I think that's the opportunity, right? Like that's the... content, yes, is and will always be king, and I will debate that to the end of my days. But marketing is, if you don't have marketing, you don't. Why do it? Like, what if I can't tell the audience where to see it, why to see it, how to see it, when to see it, to share it, all of these things in the way that they actually communicate, then it's not worth doing, because that's the key. I mean, the key in all of this is proper market. I mean, the key is really everything, right? Like the key is it's the content plus the talent plus the marketing plus luck.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, this, as much of that's a kind of a tongue in cheek joke on luck. I mean, a lot of your content is based on the hopes that it's going to go quote unquote viral, which is luck.
But
a lot of it is
but
luck.
It's also a lot. I mean, I have a couple of years of agency background. Justin's done some agency stuff. We know that there's money behind those things, right? And
always.
So there's money, but there's also, like, you would not want to put the same piece of content out the same way in a bunch of different channels, right?
Yeah.
You need to, let's say you're trying to tell one story, you need to figure out the 4 different ways that you're going to do it. Like when we would do videos, the kinds of videos that would do the best for us on Facebook were, let's say, 1.5 minutes long, lots of text on screen, lots of really stark images, no voiceover at all, because you want somebody to watch it with the sound off, essentially. And you're seeing, AJ Plus, which is the digital offshoot of Al Jazeera America, does a lot of that. You're starting to see more of that in your Facebook feed. That kind of thing would not work well necessarily on a traditional TV show or traditional morning show, which is when you've got a lot of kind of talking and a lot of stuff that to engage maybe not the most engaged viewer at that point. So, you know, for a challenge for a, it's it, you know, you talked about content is important and marketing is important. The idea of marketing is that you're essentially figuring out different ways to put that piece of content out on Facebook, on Twitter, on YouTube. And that requires, that's a lot of time. It's not just, oh, I'll just make this a minute instead of five. It's really, how do I tell the full and complete story in a minute versus the full and complete story in five minutes?
It's fascinating because, let's take a break for the news and we'll come back and we'll talk more. But what I'm interested in is the old adage, is it personality or is it the platform? You know, I mean, you guys have done a little bit of both. I mean, you hired for the personality. I mean, Thelonious Monk and others that were on that was personality driven. And then you've also made strides in the technology and the way that you serve and the platform. To get your take on which is more important and how they work together, because that is the future of media. You see it in the newspapers where they retain columnists. You see it here on radio where it's the personalities. I mean, it's an interesting kind of back and forth with which is the right way to go for a media company. In studio with me, Justin Allen, Scott Smith. These are the guys behind TouchVision, which just shut its doors last week. We'll continue the conversation after the news. Stay with us. It's Download here on WGN. I'm Justin Kaufman. In the studio with me tonight, Justin Allen and Scott Smith, the production and head of content and production. And Scott was the editorial director of TouchVision, which just shut the doors on Thursday. 40 employees let go. You know, at this day of the, I have so many different people who you know, I've worked with, the younger people who get into the game, and they say, "Yeah, I'm looking for a job." I mean, would you recommend people getting into this business? I mean, it just seems to me like more often than not, we're seeing people shut their doors.
I think it's hard. It would be hard to not recommend somebody to get into this business, right? Because Scott and I have both done something different that's not in media, yet we find ourselves back here again. And, you know, fresh on the market, very happy to get back into it again.
Yeah, I mean, I was asked by a friend of mine, like, well, what do you want to do? Like, I pretty much want to just do this stuff. Yeah. Like, I don't have another answer for you. Yeah.
What is it about it? Because obviously it's volatile. It's hard to hold something down, especially in the startup world.
But it's so much fun. It's the idea of being able to control. It's the idea of being able to walk into work, to pitch an idea, and to have somebody help you make that idea come to life, and then have a bunch of people either love it or hate it or react to it in some kind of way that meets whatever purpose you set out to do. That's really, really, that's addictive. That feeling, it's like when stand-ups get up on stage and they hear that first laugh, like, I'm back up, I'm going back. It's the same kind of feeling when you do media work.
Yeah, I mean, I would work with Monk a lot of times on his pieces, and I'm like, all right, what do you got for today? And he'd say, this is my idea, this is this, and you know, put the script together, I walk over to him, okay, all right, I like this, but like, what if you did this? And what if you're missing a key piece here, what about this? He's like, you're right, okay, you know, boom, boom, boom. And then he goes in the studio, like, 5 minutes after finishing the script, knocks it out, and it's on the show the next day, it's live on the web, and that kind of experience of having the idea and creating something and having the immediacy of seeing it people react to it. I would always have, live web stats running in the monitor next to me, and you'd see a tweet go out, and you'd see people start reading it, and that's... And we could talk all day about the addictive nature of online media, but like, that's really, really exciting. And I think it's also just like making a difference in the world. I mean, we did some really deep, meaningful pieces that, you know, we were on the show when Pete was on to talk about the Brave and Chirac. And, you know, gosh, like, you had the woman who is working with that program calling in and speaking very passionately about how it has affected her life. And that's the kind of story that you work probably, you know, your whole career to tell stories like that, and to have it happen and to see the kind of response that it gets. That's why. And it's really hard to be like, I know how to do it and I'm good at that and it's fun, and I guess I'm just going to walk away from it because, I don't know, past the revenue. Ooh, you know.
Well, let's talk about that. I mean, I teased it out before the news. If you were going to, I mean, it's good to see the passion still there, so that's a good start.
Give us money, please. Let's talk about ourmanchicago@gmail.com. Taking pitches.
What does it take?
DC's, let me hear
money is obviously a big part of this, but what does it take to effectively start, maintain, and cultivate and grow a media startup in Chicago?
Talent and consistency. Okay. And it's absolutely here. I think the money thing is nice, right? Because what we do costs money. And it's not like it's more along the lines of you need computers, you need actual like capital assets,
capital,
right?
Yeah,
you need cameras and stuff like that. But the talent is here, and the amount of times when I moved back here, and I thought for sure that we were going to have to, my wife and I were going to have to move our family to New York or LA to find a media outlet that that had a national footprint, and we found this. And then it changed my viewpoint. I always thought that, you know, okay, Chicago has the talent, but the talent just goes east or west when it's ready. If it wants to play on that national level, that was always what I thought. That's absolutely not the case. I would absolutely argue that this market truly supports a national media outlet here without question.
So if you were going to start again, would you go to try and create something that is looking for a national audience?
Yes, I think. I mean, yeah, obviously. I think because you're starting, you're looking more digitally, right?
So you have to go where the audience is. Yeah, the audience right. is going to be broadly outside of your local city, and also it broadens out the kinds of stories you're going to tell.
But one
as
of
well.
The great things about Chicago is you have all of these national issues here in one city. I mean, there are so many national. I mean, this city is a cross section of America, where you can tell any story you want to tell on a national level. You can tell it here, and you can personalize it here with a human being who's going through it, and that story will have so much more impact on a national scale.
Let me ask you, because I think of media news startups in Chicago, and I think about the Chicago News Cooperative. I think of Chi-Town Daily News. I think of Gaper's Block to an extent. I think of Beachwood Reporter, and I'm trying to think of others. And Beachwood's still around, but the others have gone away, I mean, in certain forms. And Chi-Town's still around, too. But the concept being that they last for a certain amount of time. There's a little bit of buzz around them. They try to get into the game of competing with the newspapers, maybe possibly providing an alternative, and the money runs out.
Well, not to get too deep into any one of those, but a couple of those were nonprofit models, and they were dependent on that kind of funding, but not.
Do you like
looking
that
at,
kind? Of, do you,
I think
you,
the problem. I think nonprofit funding is a fine way to start, but the things that were happening around those folks, which were a few years old, they became dependent on that funding, and there was
grants,
no place towards sustainability.
Yeah.
Right. To me, I think if I'm going to start something. Now I'm going to start small, and I'm going to start on a sort of product level, and I'm going to say, what's the product that we're creating here? What is our product for video on YouTube? What is our product
so
for video on Facebook?
So less of like an all-encompassing channel or
yeah.
network
right.
or
yeah, the,
company.
The distribution should not dictate the content. The content should dictate the distribution. So it's like the idea that, you know, we had a television show, and you have to fill a television show.
Right.
Okay, you got to fill a television show. That's a thing. That's a thing.
It takes enormous amount of resources and just psychic time in your head.
But the flip side of that is, if you know, okay, I don't. I mean, doing a television show is great. You know, doing a 13 episode pilot run of a comedy. All right, awesome. But if I want to do snippets of something and choose my distribution outlets, that's a really smart model.
And I would obviously figure out, like, okay, what is the way that we're going to do this with an email product? I'm still really bullish on the idea of events, and because there is something real in the idea that, you know, people are coming out with their feet and supporting something that you're doing, and you're providing them something that's less ephemeral. I've been doing digital pretty much all the time. I've been doing stuff in media. But there is something that is like people have developed that loyalty when they can see and experience others experiencing it as well. And that's why things like, you know, people tweeting about a show or tweeting people talking about Serial or Making a Murderer, like that's why those things start to really take off, because mm-hmm. there's those touch points around there. Mm-hmm. It's not easy to do. Those are rare things. So finding a way to take it offline and then putting it back into the online space as well really starts to build a real true brand.
Let me ask you, because you know, you guys both have been outside of media, and I think of, you know, I've had different people on who've been a part of the tech sector here, you know, whether it be Harper Reed or, you know, even Glenn Tolman and people like that, you know, or Howard Tolman. Let me ask you, is there any way that media companies can find themselves partnering with that community, a community that's much more interested in launching something and okay with failure? Meaning that's what they do. They launch and they you know, if I come in here and I have a tech person on, I ask them, what's failure mean to me? It's everything.
Yeah.
They have to. It seems like that environment may be a better place for media startups than, say, the environment that we see here in the landscape in Chicago.
Well, I would argue that it's already the future. It's the current state, because I mean, I'm not going to stop creating just because this thing shut down. So I think that that's a big thing, that you get a lot of people who think like, okay, I'm going to go to a more stable company. Name one stable media company, right, big or small, right now. Like, right. I challenge that. You can't, because
brick and mortar or digital, it everything is you know,
it's always upended. In a state of flux. And I think that just like the tech industry is like, all right, it's fast fail. All right, this is crashing and burning. Now let's move on to the next idea.
Yeah.
Great. I think that's a good spot.
It's almost like if you think about the way that we consume news online, whether it be through Facebook or Twitter or what have you. The name can change, but the content's the content. So if you attempted to mimic what the tech industry was doing, and it didn't really matter about brand legacy or the idea of keeping a company around for 50 years, which is a year, and you moved mm-hmm. on to the next, there may see some success in that.
Yeah. There is though, a caution that I think it's very hard to be, if you are a content-driven company and try to also be a technology company, because we've seen companies like BuzzFeed and Vox Media, which has this amazing CMS called Chorus that everybody wants to use, but it took them years of development. Mm-hmm. That is a rare thing.
Right.
And BuzzFeed really did start off as this sort of like tech experimental lab, and content was secondary. And then they used the tech thing as the basis for mm-hmm. the content thing, which was going to give them more longevity and what have you. But those are rare things. I would caution most media companies to not try to do that, because it sucks up a lot of time and resources, and it starts to then bleed over into the content side of the business. You see like Apple thinking it's going to do – I mean,
right.
Apple News app was like, everybody was freaking out about it. How much of people actually
used
it? And
I'm also – I mean, we haven't even talked about this – I guess on the content side of how much you have to protect that side so you don't – get into a situation where you're, and BuzzFeed has been successful, but where people don't trust the brand. People are already saying this is not journalism, this is something else. And
sure.
You have to decide where you're at with that. As we wrap up here, lessons learned from this company, from both of you. I ask the tech guys all the time about failure and risk and all that kind of stuff. You guys have just gone through it. The company shut its doors last week. What did you learn from this experience?
I think the biggest thing was that it's possible to create TV that feels like the internet. You know, we had a really great news commentary show with Molly Adams, speaking of news. We had a really fun pop culture talk show with Gwen and Eric called We Should Talk About This. We had great commentators and things like that. If we're constantly trying to figure out, you know, whether it's print or TV, there's always this idea of, oh, well, we'll just wait till those young people grow older and then they will come back
right.
to this form. But if they grow in their sort of prime media loyalty years, if you will, not experiencing that form, they're never going to adopt it in their later years. So it's really figuring out how you can actually – don't worry about trying to get those cord cutters back. It's actually create the stuff that they are already enjoying in a different form.
Justin?
That this is possible in Chicago. That this level of company is possible in Chicago. You just have to find the right model. Because the X factor that I was always told was not here was the talent, and that's not true. That's words I can't say on your radio station.
And if you are looking for talent, we have like 40 people who are looking for a job right now, so please email so we can help these people out.
Scott Smith was the editorial director. Justin Allen was the head of content and production for the media startup TouchVision, which shut its doors last week. Continued success. I mean, it is success because this was a company that lasted for years, a couple years. Continued success, and we hope to see new products and new media from you guys in the future.
Yes.
Thanks for being
here. Thanks, man.
Thank you.